Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Building Brum podcast. I'm your host, Connor Nolan, and on this podcast, I'm going to be finding out about development updates taking place across the region and looking at the latest themes and trends happening across the construction industry. We're broadcasting from Birmingham, and today we're being hosted by Muse Developments for a second time at their Birmingham office and recording today's episode in their world-class podcast studio. On today's Building Brum podcast, we caught up with the organisers of the British Council for Offices 2024 annual conference, which is taking place next month in Birmingham. It's been 10 years since the conference was last held in the UK's second city, and over the past decade, our city, famously known as the workshop of the world, has lived up to its name, delivering a number of sizeable new developments, including 103 Colmore Row, Enterprise Wharf, and Paradise Birmingham. We caught up with Peter Crowther, Senior Vice President of the BCO, James Hall, Director at Associated Architects and member of the BCO Midlands Chapter Committee, and Rosie Cottrell, Director at Turley and Chair of the BCO Midlands Next Gen Committee, to discuss what makes Birmingham a strategic place for the conference to be held and how ongoing investment and development has transformed the city. A big thank you to our hosts today, Muse Developments, and our Building Brum podcast series supporters, Reality Capture and Point Cloud Modelling Specialists, Scantech Digital, Solus, one of the UK's leading suppliers of commercial flooring and wall tiles, APEC UK Limited, West Bromwich-based architectural glazing specialists, and Sunbelt Rentals, with over 1.5 million items of equipment. They are the largest providers of equipment hire in the UK.
Hi James, hi Rosie, hi Peter. Welcome to the Building Brum podcast. How are you all?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, very good, thanks.
Yeah, great. Thank you for having us, Connor.
No, it's good to have you on today, Peter. You've come. You're not Birmingham based. You've come up from.
No, I'm based in South Manchester. So.
Oh, great. Come down from South Manchester. Thanks.
Yeah,
for,
absolutely.
Thanks for making the trip down. We're over in there. We're in the Muse Muse Developments studio today. They've got a little nice podcast studio in Birmingham. And I know they're part of, they're contributing and they're playing a role to the BCO Festival later this year.
Yeah, they are. Muse are participating. Maggie, their regional MD, is helping us out. And yeah, very much appreciate them providing the room for us today so we can have this chat.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I was going to say, it's coming up, it's May 22nd of May, 24th of May, that later this year, isn't it, that the BCO conference is happening in Birmingham?
Yep.
And James, you've played a big role in kind of helping to shape it alongside Peter, because Peter, you're Senior Vice President of the British Council for Offices, and James, you lead on the Birmingham Committee, don't you?
I'm one of a number on the Birmingham Committee, yes, who've been helping Peter in his role, organise thoughts and sessions and activities around the conference, having advocated bringing it back to Birmingham some 10 years after it was last here.
So 10 years of saying, let's bring it back to Birmingham, it's here, and now you've got to deliver on the goods. And Rosie, you must be, and then as chair of the BCO Next Gen Group, playing a role in helping to kind of shape and get more younger people involved in going to the BCO conference.
So I've been sitting on the kind of committee for organising it alongside Peter and James. And I think what's really great about this year is the extent to which Peter has been trying to encourage that the next gen element of the conference is just an integral part of it. It doesn't have to be, this is the next gen element and this is the main conference element. We've got our own events, but we're also just part of the main programme. So I think that's really special for this conference.
Nice. Because I mean, it's a big thing for Birmingham to have this conference coming back, and it's globally, you do this every year. Last year it was in Dublin, and then this year it's come to Birmingham. And I mean, with all the developments going on, with all the great opportunities in the city, it must be drawing a lot of attention from businesses signing up and wanting to play a part. You must be really looking forward to it actually kind of taking place almost in the next, what is it, 2 months' time now?
Yeah. It's strange because you start the process basically this time last year. And as the way the BCO works is you start out as a junior vice president, then senior vice president, then president for a year, and then the immediate past president. It all sounds very, very, very formal. But effectively, it's the run-up to hosting your conference and chairing your conference. And as the chair, you get the opportunity to decide where you take it to. In my previous role, Chief Development Officer at Bruntwood SciTech, and the fact that the BCO is leaning a little bit more towards encompassing life science, I thought, oh, we could go to Boston in the States, or we could take it. But in reality, looking at it, I think it's funny talking to James. There's been so much going on the home patch that to go somewhere different and equally carbon footprint wise to fire everybody off to North America just didn't feel right. And so many different factors combined when you look at the way in which Birmingham had changed prior to the 2014 conference. And whilst the city's had some real challenges, it's actually built hugely from there. And when you look at the amount of activity, whether it's cultural, arts, sporting, but also within the built environment that the BCO is concerned with, it was a natural thing to look towards Birmingham, because there's just so much to see and so much has changed in a relatively short space of time.
It's that change where we had this conference back in 2014. I'd be interested to see what the agenda looked like then and kind of the outlook at the 2014 conference, and then how that kind of materialised into today. I mean, James, do you remember what 2014 was like?
Yes, well, I was involved in a small way in that conference as well. And what's most interesting to me is the 2014 conference had a little bit more of a regional outlook. So there were visits to Longbridge, Coventry, and some of our regional manufacturers like Jaguar Land Rover. However, this conference is much, much more focused on Birmingham in its own right, which I think probably reflects the quantum and quality of development that Peter sort of talks to that's happened in the intervening years. You know, investment sentiments up, you know, big developers such as Argent and Peter at Bruntwood as well. Tenants that are coming to the city, international banks relocating here. And in that intervening period, there's been some phenomenal transformation around things like public realm. You know, Victoria Square, yeah. Paradise, Centenary Square have all been regenerated in a very sort of happening way. And then also the continued investment in transport, given that I think at the last conference, New Street Station redevelopment was half complete. Well, now that is complete. And, you know, there's a new tram system running through the city as well. So it's a very different place. Where lots have happened over that period. I was sort of Googling some stats this morning to try and throw in the mix, but I was staggered to see that the Birmingham West Midlands economy has grown by 26% over the last 5 years.
And that's just the past last 5 years?
Yeah.
So yeah. That's huge. And that kind of, when you talked about, you're right, the National Rail with the train station, that was still, because that was under development for about, that took about, how long did that take to?
Well, best part of 10 years from start to finish, yeah.
And then that was still ongoing, and then kind of the catalyst that had on so many other developments around it, and then obviously, yes, with Paradise and all the public realm that goes into there. And yeah, it must be 2014 to 2024, it's a big step forward for Birmingham, even with everything that's happened, say, with the challenges that the city faces, the obvious ones, we're still on the front foot going forward. And I mean, Rosie, this must be a great, having the fact that, because the BCO Next Gen does so many events, I think with what you do with your memberships, absolutely brilliant, the bite-sized walking tours, the evening events, it's you're one of the best outfits out there. Having the conference here must be another great opportunity for you to be like, just to kind of hit the drum and say to your members, get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a really exciting time for Birmingham. There's obvious financial and political challenges at the moment, but in spite of that, we're having a real renaissance. And what Peter was saying about the amount of breadth that we've got, I think the variety of office space, we as NextGen always try and showcase as much as we can some of the smaller, more independent offices, but in Birmingham we've got such breadth. We've got your corporate grade A office spaces like Snow Hill, 103, Cornwall Row. We've got really small boutique office spaces like the Joint Works in the Jewellery Quarter. We've got heritage refurbs like Assay Studios, The Bond. And then obviously I'm biased, but Paradise has completely change the face of the city. And
it's because you played a small role in Paradise, wasn't that? That's the bias, isn't it? Just a tiny, tiny role.
No, we're very, very pleased to be part of the team that's helping to deliver Paradise.
Been very modest there, Rosie.
And obviously, when the conference was last here, the Central Library was still there. Paradise hadn't started; it had permission, but there was none of that was there. And it's a once in a generation development that's pretty much completely office led, which, you know, in this day and age, most things are now becoming residential led. We have a lot more residential led regeneration. So having a scheme like Paradise to showcase, and it's only halfway through, is a really exciting time for Birmingham, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And in terms of, for everyone listening, who say people that aren't familiar with the British Council for Offices, I mean, can you tell on a general scale, like Peter, like what does the British Council for Offices do? What's the remit?
The remit really is multiple. A lot of it's about networking. It's providing linkages for people within the industry to meet other participants from different sectors. It's also about providing research to look at new initiatives within the built environment. So looking at whether it's smart technology, social values, clearly far more of an issue that developers should be addressing in delivering the projects that they do. But also just some of the basic stuff like guides to fit out, guides to specification, where it provides the industry with a broad framework against which they can work, and a level of standardisation that means that each time we're not reinventing the wheel. But I think ever more what we're looking to do is just to get on the front foot and have a look at the way in which our industry, our cities, our customers that use the space that we create, what is it that's on their agenda? What is it that they want to do? So I know we sort of, when we were having a chat before, we touched a bit about how do you set the agenda for what topics get covered at a property conference. And it really is just canvassing opinions of people, whether that's Rosie, James, others such as Oliver at Make, who leads the London South East for NextGen, but there's many other people, and it's just having conversations around what are the issues that we really should be addressing. And so some of them are the generic ones that you'd expect, but I am keen to get people thinking. So we close with a session on AI, where we've got a professor from Cambridge University who's a neuroscientist, and she's very much focused on the power of the human brain. But that's then segueing into, well, how does AI play a part within the creation of the built environment? And hopefully people just leave going, my brain's a bit frazzled, because it's such a big topic, but so little is known about the potential. So just to get people creative juices flowing, I think would be fantastic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think the big thing that jumped out at me with the program is that kind of the split between a really high level, interesting and informative kind of panel events taking place, but then also events where the networking tours and just the tours themselves, going around and seeing kind of Birmingham and exploring the city and its positive, all these positive developments that have taken place. I mean, was that when you were kind of curating that, was that a combination of you working with James to pull that together and Rosie to kind of be like, right, what do we think people would be most interested in? How did you kind of test and understand and be like, this is what we're going to offer people? Because it's so good. I mean, that Thursday the 22nd of May has a really unique program in the day, and it's exploring how culture shapes the workplace, the impact of machines in the workplace and how they integrate with humans, the life sciences, ESG, retrofit, and there's that wider panel discussion which is kind of just taking that in-depth look at Birmingham. But then alongside that, you've got these great walking tours taking place, and it's that kind of split between having them both. It's a fun conference. Do you know what I mean? It looks that way. It looks collaborative. It looks fun.
Yeah, well, the hope is that people really enjoy it. I think we as a nation, and equally in our cities, we have a nasty habit of beating ourselves up and equally not having the level of pride that we should in what we've achieved. Going back to why we're in Birmingham, if you step back, I mean, I, like you, have been involved in the city for a number of years, but when you actually take a step back and you look at the changes, there's a huge amount to be proud about. So part of it, yes, is conveying that pride. And I've been so fortunate on the tour programme that James is a real advocate for bringing the conference here, has done an absolutely fantastic job in delivering a really, really strong tour programme. But equally working with Rosie and others on just looking at those current issues and saying, right, what's going to get people interested? Because it isn't something where we want a passive audience. We do want people to be fully engaged in it, and hopefully with high quality speakers, good diversity in those speakers, that allied to the work that James has done, we get something, as you say, people really enjoy.
Yeah, I think I remember an early conversation which was around, we wanted to make sure people could come away from this actually learning something that would be applicable to them in their role involved in the office industry somehow. Was one key theme, and another being that, frankly, we just wanted to show off the city and everything that makes it great, investable, occupiable, as you know, office people who run offices and those types of things. So, I think we were looking to provide a huge sort of breadth and range of experience. So, in the tours, particularly, it was making sure that we had a variety of things for people to look at that might interest them in their role in the sector. You know, Rosie's alluded to the sort of large Cat A speculative offerings in the city that sort of drive the rental rates in the city. So we've got things like Tours of Paradise and 103, strong end user led office redevelopment and fit out. So Arup, HSBC, HMRC, tours of their spaces, the sort of historic bits and reuse and retrofit. So 10 Brindley Place, Assay Studios and Corner Block are included. Some more innovative propositions as well. So things from the innovation sector-led office developments, so BCU's Steamhouse that people in the city will be familiar with, and also Bruntwood's Enterprise Wharf. And then also for people who don't know the city generally, we were keen to bring in a sort of walking tours that gave people a broader sense of place. So we're luckily, we got hold of Carl Chin, the sort of quasi-famous local historian who is excellent entertainment to run a sort of historic walking tour through the city centre and then take people to other upcoming areas as well. So areas like Digbeth and other parts of the city where people will be able to walk and be shown that part of the city by somebody who knows it intimately.
And you've just reeled off so many key developments that have taken place in the city. What's the response been like when you're approaching other organisations to tell them that the PCO conference is happening and you want them to be involved, you want them to showcase their space, you want the people that have been involved with the delivery, maybe even the end user involved in it? Has it been an easy task to kind of do in the way that you're pushing on an open door? Other professionals across the sector want to help, want to play a role?
Yeah, absolutely. I think people are generally proud of what they've been involved in within the city. So inviting people to support that has been pretty straightforward. And most people are desperate to showcase their space. It's amazing how many building owners wanted to put on a drinks reception immediately after the tour in their building because they want people there enjoying, you know, the views or vistas or spaces they've created. So I think that's been really successful, and we are, as organisers, extremely grateful for the support of all those people in allowing us to make all that happen for the delegates.
And I mean, it's a testament to Associated Architects that yourselves being able to have, there's at least two projects that are there taking place on the walking tour. The one with them with Enterprise Wharf.
Enterprise Wharf, yeah. Shameless plugs. It's 10 Brindley Place and Enterprise Wharf. Both which are fantastic projects to be involved with and lucky enough to be able to be in a position to talk to people about those in detail, the challenges faced on those projects, and the lessons learned that can be sort of transmitted to others in the industry that hopefully will add benefit and interest to the tours.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially with the fact that, say, Enterprise Wharf, you coming into Birmingham off the Aston Expressway, it's the first main field you see, you know what I mean? It makes an impression on people as far as this is the tone going into the rest of the city of what to expect from good design, good architecture. And likewise, when they're coming in from the other side of Birmingham, down there in Broad Street, you've got 11 Brindley Place right at the top there. So it's key, these key locations, these key buildings where they are geographically, that you're responsible for kind of being like, right, we're going to deliver them in such a way. So it's great that you're able to take people out on the BCO tour and kind of show them and celebrate them, really.
Yeah, and I think there's other sort of success stories in there. I mean, those are only two of the 14 tours that we're offering.
It's 14 tours?
Yeah.
I didn't realise there was 14. That's excellent.
Yeah, which is a significant step up from 10 years ago as well, which I'm pleased about. But, you know, there's fantastic new opportunities. You know, in 103 yep. Colmore Road, there are now vistas across the city that simply didn't exist before for tenants and occupiers and visitors. And, you know, just new developments like Paradise that have frankly reshaped the core of our city and created public benefit as well as sort of private developable office space as well.
And then wondering from the point of view, because I mean, how long have both yourself and Rosie been members of the West Midlands, the West Midlands Committee?
For me, I've been a member since 2017 of the Next Gen Committee. James has got a longer, innings.
Fewer grey hairs. So with others, we set up the Next Gen Committee some years ago. I currently sit on the Main Midlands Committee as well. But Birmingham as a sort of regional committee for the BCO, I think, is incredibly successful. You know, most of our events are only out attended by London, the London region. So that's been really positive and sort of demonstrates the Midlands' ability to keep going, developing and attract investment to the city.
Well, that's the thing. How have you seen it kind of change since, say, when you joined Rosie back in 2017 and James, when you helped found the West Midlands branch, what are the kind of the key changes from a committee point of view that you've seen in terms of, is it the influence that you've got now in the region to be able to be like, right, we're doing a conference in Birmingham and selling it and getting people to it? Or where were those kind of key things, key changes?
Well, for me, I think a lot of it is around what the BCO does more broadly. So the research base that the British Council for Offices generates, I think, has improved in quality, has become much more focused of late. So as a regional committee, being able to tap into that national research and share that with people locally and invite the people who, you know, did the research and wrote the papers directly to the city to engage in debates with members and key members of the property community in Birmingham's extremely strong. And then I think there's been a sort of decades-long journey of being able to gain access to and visit exemplar office buildings in the city as well.
And Peter, being based in Manchester, so your role, if you've been previously been involved with the BCO, the British Council for Offices Manchester branch, then I'm imagining.
Yeah, I had a spell a few years on the Northern Committee. I was a national judge for 5 years. I chaired the national judges. So yeah, I've a bit like James, I've got a lengthy history with the BCO. And I think one of the key things I have seen over the period of my involvement is the voice that Next Gen have become ever more liberated and empowered to really drive the direction. And I think it's something that certainly with me as a president, I'll be keen to really continue to push that, because there's a lot that the core BCO can learn from how Next Gen delivers its events. As James says, the core events are successful and well attended, but I think Next Gen, there's just a bit, they're a bit sparkier, they're a bit more, no, but there's more preparedness to go to smaller projects, look at specific details. The technical elements of that program is really, really strong.
Yep.
And then the way in which it's the lessons are learned and are communicated is really dynamic. Yeah. You know, there's just a far better use of social media that, again, I think that the remainder of the BCO is making really strong moves. Sinead, who leads on social media for the BCO, is doing a great job in really making sure there's a far greater consistency of messaging. But
well, that's one of the things I've noticed. So within the Building Brum series, we do events, but then when I look at Rosie, what you and the BC, the Next Gen committee are doing, and the amount of events that you're delivering, like, say, for instance, we were over in one of the schemes, it was Simon Lamprell from AHR. Yeah. It was a Wednesday lunchtime. There must have been 35, close to 40 people there.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to go and explore the space, hear from Simon. And it was really interesting, great event. And that was just a random Wednesday afternoon. And you just, the level, the amount that you're delivering, it's got to be one a month at least. It's getting on for...
Yeah, we tend to aim for one a month. And I think, so when I first joined BCO, the thing that really drew me to it and to the Next Gen programme was that it's multidisciplinary. So there's only a few professional membership organisations where you're not talking to people who do the same job as you. So you get the same opinions, you meet the same people over and over again. And I was really keen to kind of widen my network. To be honest, that was initially why I joined. But the longer I've been part of BCO, I think the thing that I've seen change the most is the recognition of that breadth of membership. It's, you know, it's not just about doing tours of buildings. We love that element and it's great to get people out, but it's really about the wider industry and impacts. And that's what I love about this conference program, is that we're not shying away from wider issues that are affecting the industry. And the theme of the conference is just creating vibrancy. Offices have got a small part to play in creating amazing, vibrant places. And that's what, as I've been chair of BCO Next Gen Midlands for a year, we've been keen to try and have more conversational events, such as the one we did with yourself, Connor, about 2 months ago, where we were talking about social value, you know, much wider industry topics, but they affect the office sector. It's not all about great looking tiles, even though they are great. We love a good tile, but it's not just about the interiors and the buildings themselves. It's about what impact they have on the surroundings. So I think the biggest change for me in the last kind of 8 or 9 years that I've been involved is that is more recognised, that BCO is becoming, you know, bigger than just buildings.
Well, absolutely. Because, I mean, when was the last property conference that took place in Birmingham on this scale? I'd say it was probably about 10 years ago when the BCO were back here.
I struggle to think of one since.
Yeah, I can't think of any.
And that's the fact that it is, Birmingham is here. We've had was it 23% growth as a city in the past 5 years? Was you mentioned earlier, James? Like it's a successful, thriving city, yet BCO are one of the only organisations that have been like, right, let's do these types of conferences where there's, say, MIPIM has just taken place. You've got UK Reef happening. There's so many different things happening, but Birmingham's here for the, and it's got the capacity, it's got the content, but this is the first time in almost 10 years that that this level of conference has taken place. Because, I mean, what's the capacity and like the numbers that we're expecting to come down to attend the conference? Do you have an idea of where you're at now?
Well, we're hoping that we'll get to between 800 and 1,000 people.
That's amazing.
And the take-up has been strong. I know for a lot of businesses at the moment, it's challenging, but I think we're seeing people's appetite to learn, and hopefully the interest of coming to see where Birmingham is after a 10-year break. A lot of the issues, because we've worked collectively to hopefully put a broad-based program on, some fantastic tours, there's a lot to attract people in. And I think as well, there's been the national press around the region hasn't been great. as Rosie said, the political issues sort of override a lot that's going on. Whereas when you look at Paradisers, for instance, you've got the combined authority, the city council, and a private developer delivering absolute game-changing public realm space, leisure. And I think the opportunity to get around 1,000 people in the city, many of whom are investors, to look at what the art of the possible is, I think that's absolutely fantastic for us.
And I think it also speaks to the attractiveness of city centres and vibrancy, the core theme of the conference, because you see through things like Paradise, you get people like Arup, another one of the tours, fit out of their space, moving from a city periphery location to relocate directly in the city core, where the vibrancy exists because they recognise that's important for their staff, their well-being, their business as a whole. So I think Birmingham as a location continues to do that, and it's great to see the transformations over the 10 years continue to push that agenda to allow those vibrant and incredible things to happen to our city.
I think it's just putting a spotlight, really showcasing everything that's going on with the people that you've got on the panel, with, say, we mentioned before, Maggie from Muse, and all the work that's going on there with, say, in Wolverhampton and Mel Square and in Arden Cross. You've got these great developers that are making big differences, making big changes, working with the likes of yourselves to kind of drive this change through in the city. And I think having the conference in Birmingham this year is going to really play a big... It's a great positive story for the city. And it's a vote of confidence for the city as well, the fact that you're doing it on this scale, because it's a serious event.
Yeah, yeah.
In a big way. I mean, as vice president, following on from this, when you go into become president next year, what's the plan next year then, Peter?
As president, I think there's a lot more involvement in the BCO's wider events programme. So having chaired the conference, it is then. Things like the awards dinner, the national awards dinner, the regional awards dinner, and just hopefully in a role that's sort of semi-ambassadorial, it's making sure that the positive messages around the industry, the benefits of the breadth of the membership base, the networking opportunities, the partnership working that emanates from being part of an active member organisation. Hopefully it's just driving that messaging wider. But equally just hoping to see the BCO continue to evolve, because as a member-led organisation, the need for it to respond to its members' requirements is absolutely paramount. So in going around the country and listening to people, hopefully it's making sure that we continue to deliver the right events, programs, activity, research to continue to meet those members' needs and wants.
Yeah, I think with that mention, when you talk about the research that you mentioned earlier, James, it's such a crucial part, isn't it? I remember speaking to Wayne from Orange Box, who long-term BCO member, really kind of praising the research and the white papers that get published by the BCO. And it is much more than, I was talking before about the events that you do, but it is so much more than just the events. It's everything that kind of goes into delivering what the kind of the thought leadership, that influence piece from the organisation, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think certainly in my role as a consultant, you know, that's invaluable to take to clients and share good evidence-based practice with them. And I think I was sort of alluding to the way that the research has been restructured, but there are now four themes that guide all of the research around economy, business, technology, and perhaps most importantly, the ESG messaging and the sustainability aspect, which has come to the fore much more strongly over recent years. And I think, as Peter alludes to, as an organisation, BCO is responding to evolving needs that not only the sector has, but, you know, broader property issues as well.
That's right. What you just mentioned there really aligns with that caught with the programme of the conference when I was thinking, how are you curating this? Where are you getting these topics from? What's kind of the inspiration? And it's the research.
Yeah.
That those four key the pillars behind the research, really, that's lending itself to help shape the agenda then, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And as James is alluding to, the BCO, in listening to everybody, you know, we did last year put on an ESG conference, and there was a broad-based program that really had a look at what we and the industry could do to make sure, again, we are delivering the most responsible projects. And for me, in chairing this conference, so there was a bit of a chicken and egg on what is the theme of the conference. As Rosie said, it's creating vibrancy, but it's doing that in a responsible way. And I think, you know, we all certainly, I know Rosie and James well, you know, and we are representative of most people within the industry, that we do want to create places that work for the people that live, work and play within them. So whilst we are the British Council for Offices, I think part of what we all do and are far more conscious of now is the impact of what we do on the wider communities, but also how we can create that vibrancy through looking at skills, training, education, and beyond just, well, we've got a project, we need to build something. It is doing so responsibly.
Well, I guess so. Really good luck with the conference this year. Well done putting together such a great program of speakers and presenters, and with Carl Chin on the walking tours. That's really, really interesting stuff. Is there tickets still available for the conference?
Yes. Yeah, if you go to the BCO website or the BCO conference microsite, still sign up. So, yeah, brilliant. The more the merrier. We'd love to see everybody in Birmingham.
No, that sounds great. Thank you so much. And thank you all for coming on the podcast today and telling us more about the conference that's coming up later in May. Thank you very much, James, Rosie and Peter.
Thank you.
Thanks Connor.
I'd like to say thank you very much to our guests for joining me on today's episode, and thanks to everyone for listening. We'll be back soon with more special guest speakers from all across the construction sector. A big thank you again to our Building Brum podcast series supporters, Reality Capture and Point Cloud Modelling Specialists, Scantec Digital, Solus, one of the UK's leading suppliers of commercial flooring and wall tiles, APEC UK Limited, West Bromwich-based architectural glazing specialists, and Sunbelt Rentals. With over 1.5 million items of equipment, they are the largest providers of equipment hire in the UK. Thanks for listening, everyone, and take care.